Hello, my name is Gary, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the District 05 Service Workshop, an open potluck speaker meeting that will be held a little later this afternoon or evening. I would ask that we don't interrupt the speakers, the presenters, when they're speaking here today for us. Hold your questions until they're done, then we'll field any and all of those questions when each panel is done. I'd like to start this meeting and open it with a responsibility statement. You can stay seated. That's fine with me. I am responsible when anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. All right. Our first presenter is Mary Jo, and she's going to talk about the AA service structure. She's brought a couple of visual aids. I love visual aids. The first time I was at either the district meeting and or an area event and saw these maps, I was really relieved because I knew where we were involved, both at the district level, the area level, and then even greater at all the way to New York. So it was quite a revelation for me to see it, rather than just hear about it. You know, when we talk about people being from here or there or a different district or a different area, I was clueless. So Mary Jo can put some of those pieces together. Please welcome Mary Jo.
Hi, I'm Mary Jo. I'm alcoholic.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Hi, everybody. I'd like to thank you, John, especially. He invited me to come and share, and I always a privilege to be able to share in Alcoholics Anonymous, participate in my own recovery, so I appreciate the invitation. I guess that when he asked me to share on the service structure, one of the questions that has always been kind of in my head is, why do we need a service structure? I mean, why? Why do we need to have something bigger than our group? And I was going through one of the things that Alcoholics Anonymous does publish is what's called a service manual. And everything that you need to know about service is in this manual. They have it in large print for us old people, and they have it in regular size print for the young eyes. And if the literature people get here, they may have some of that. If not, you can order it through New York. But in here, I was doing some reading, and there's an article published by Bill W., and it's called The AA Legacy of Service. And in there, he says, our 12th step, carrying the message, is our basic service that this fellowship provides. This is our principal aim and our main reason for existence. Therefore, AA is much more than a set of principles. It is a society of alcoholics in action. And inaction, to me, is the one key phrase that tells me why we need some structure. Because in order for us to work together as a unified group, to have some kind of effectiveness, you know, we need to have some kind of cohesiveness. And that's what the service structure provides for us. The service structure is not in place to dictate to us or to tell us what to do or to tell us even how to do anything. It really is there to provide for us what we need to do. And so what are some things that the service structure, kind of the big picture, what happens in New York, what do they do for us as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous? And they do some things. One is they provide for us uniform literature so that, you know, they publish our big book. We have the 12 and 12. We have material that's called service to approved literature. They provide for us things like workbooks and kits so that our committees can kind of have some guidelines and some ideas of what to do when, you know, some groups people in Alcoholics Anonymous get together and want to form a corrections committee. Well, how do we do that? So New York will provide us with uniform literature that if I'm living in, you know, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I move to Hawaii or I move to northern Canada, I will still have the same materials available to me. So it gives us some unity. It provides public information resources. You know, it gives us some ideas on how do we reach out to the public, you know, to get our message out there so that people can find us and know where we're at. It's there to help new groups. When you, you know, resentment in a coffee pot, I guess, you know, a new group springs up. But then what do they do? So you can, you know, contact the General Service Office and they will send you materials that will give you some ideas. They'll talk about meeting formats. What are some different types of meetings that you could possibly have? They talk about money and how money and spirituality mix so that the two of them are harmonious. They don't fight against each other. They provide us an opportunity to register so that we can then have access to the newsletter, a quarterly report, so that we know what's going on. They publish an international magazine, which is The Grapevine. And there is a very lovely grapevine display over there on that table. And The Grapevine is a magazine. It is published monthly, and there are several of them over there. Please feel free to take a look at them. If you want to take some of them that are in the basket, you can help yourself. There has recently been a change in The Grapevine, and so this year's grapevines are in one of those little green binders, and I would ask that you can please look at them, but don't take those because we try to keep our most current ones available for the display. But The Grapevine also publishes some other books and some other materials that are available for the fellowship. So they do that for us. And they also help to carry the message in other languages. The General Service Office in New York coordinates translation projects. The translation is done by other members of Alcoholics Anonymous who, you know, and there's a process that they have to go through. First, they will submit a manuscript of some transcription, and the General Service Office will compare that and make sure that they believe that the essence of the spirit of the program of recovery is captured in that translation. And once they believe that is available and can happen, then they will give those people approval to finish that project. So they coordinate those kinds of things. Those are things that as individual members and as an individual, like my home group, we couldn't pull any of that off. So we need to have something in a little bit larger scope. And the other thing, we'll be talking a little bit about home group and GSRs. GSR is a general service representative. Each group, I guess, is encouraged to have a GSR. And through that GSR, what it does is it ensures that our voice is heard in New York. They answer to us. They are responsible to us. They only can do what we, you know, give them information about. So that is one of the things that service structure provides. And the other thing is it just guarantees that the services that we feel that are important have some continuity. That if for some reason, conditions get, contributions are down, they have a way to continue to provide those services to us as a fellowship as a whole without necessarily being affected by rise and incline of economic things, or just of the whims of an alcoholic. I mean, how many times have you, you know, been someplace and had someone in your home group get pissed off and leave, or, you know, be a part of a committee and things aren't going their way and they're out of here and you never hear from them again? I mean, we're kind of a volatile society, very sensitive, and can be easily thrown off base. So that provides us some, just, you know, we'll be here tomorrow just for the next new person coming in. So those are the things that I feel are really important for our service structure. So then how does all of that really work? Okay, so it starts at a really basic. You know what, before I go there, let me just, is there any questions? I know that Gary said to leave it kind of to the end, but I'm going to do this sort of in segments, so if anyone has any questions, you can raise your hand. Sorry, Gary. So it kind of starts at our, you know, our home group. And a home group is just, you know, it is a group of alcoholics who gather together, who call themselves Alcoholics Anonymous, and who have formed a group to, I don't know, study the steps, study the traditions, practice the principles, carry the message. And so a group can be as little as two people or as many as, there's a meeting I'm aware of out in California that has 1,300 people at it every week. So a group can be very large, it can be very small. And within that group, then, depending on the size, now we're going to kind of start to talk about, well, how do you be effective? First is, you know, we encourage a GSR, somebody who is kind of the person who will go from our group, who will carry our conscience to someplace else. And the next place happens to be what we call district. And a district is just made up of, it's a geographical area. Within the district, there's several districts within an area, and then there's several areas within regions, and then we get up to, then we're at New York. So there's a lot of different levels, I guess, of service. So our GSR will go to our district meeting, and they will talk about things that are pertinent to maybe to district, maybe to the groups, and to maybe the area. So if a group, let's say a group is having some growing pains, maybe there's some struggles with people breaking anonymity. Maybe there's some struggles with people wanting to bring in non-approved AA literature, you know, maybe meeting formats and that kind of stuff. The district is sort of a place where people, the GSRs, can go and say, you know what, my group is having a little bit of trouble. What, have any of you had any experience? So really our service structure starts to provide some support at, you know, greater than our group. I do have some notes. So I just want to make sure that I don't miss anything, because I know you guys are hanging on the edge of your seats for all of this stuff. Gary told me to just keep talking and talking and talking and as long as I want, to just disregard this schedule. So the GSR is an active link between the group and the fellowship as a whole. It will carry the group's voice, the group conscience, to on specific issues. And also that GSR is the other way, coming back. It's a two-way street. So then the GSR can bring information back to the groups, things that are happening, issues that are coming up. One of the things, like, I remember when I was a GSR is they were in the process of creating the fourth edition of the Big Book. And so there was a lot of conversation back and forth about that. And so that, you know, that's kind of exciting things. And those aren't things necessarily that you would hear just, all, you know, sitting in your meeting, wherever you're at, River Falls, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, unless you have somebody who is kind of getting outside of the group. The GSR also helps to promote unity within the area that you're at. So, like, hopefully, you know, GSRs will come together, get to know each other, come back and say, hey, this group is doing this, you know, so that we can all support the work that we're doing. GSRs will get reports. In our district, we have committees set up, and those committees will come on a quarterly basis and give reports. So our GSR can come back to the group and say, hey, the corrections committee is, we're starting to go into a new jail, and we need some people. You know, is there anybody here who wants to do that and be able to put us in touch with the people that we need to do that with? Public information, there's just been a change now. The public information guy is John. Where is John? John. And so so it's kind of moved out of like that Eau Claire area now to River Falls. So we don't want to lose track of that because our PI has committee has been doing really good work for years. So it's not like, okay, now it goes to River Falls and now it's all River Falls' responsibility. It's our district responsibility. So at the district meeting, you know, our GSRs can come back and go, here's what John's doing. Does anybody want to be responsible for getting information to the Eau Claire Public Libraries or the libraries in the schools or the hotels or, you know, so we can all work together? So the GSR is doing that. The GSR also will get information mailed to them from the from New York and from our area so they can keep us up to date on some of that other, that kind of stuff too. Yep, okay, covered that. And then the GSR is a primary contact for the General Service Office. When a group registers, they will send that the GSR's name and address and phone number, that contact information to New York. And so they have a big directory that they publish, and so that information is in there, not address, but names and phone numbers are in there. So if people are traveling and, you know, they're going to River Falls and they're looking for a meeting, they have a contact. They can contact somebody. That's one of the things. And also just for mailing, I know that every third year, we do, as a whole membership as a whole, we do a membership survey. And so the people in New York will mail out surveys to specific groups and then ask the members of their group to fill that out and return that. And so all of that is coordinated through the GSR. All that stuff comes through the GSR. Does anybody have any questions about GSRs or their role or... No? Dodie?
How long should you be sober before your GSR?
The suggested sobriety time is 2 years. And I think that that is a good time. I actually started as GSR. I was... not quite 2 years, very close to 2 years, but a couple of years. You should, you know, be familiar with the steps, have some sobriety under your belt, and maybe have had some time to review the traditions to understand how the traditions work, and to thicken up your skin, because thin skin is a... it can be a problem. Let's just put it that way. because you come together and everybody there, you know, is serving their group with the best of intentions, but not everybody really, like for myself, I really didn't learn how to do that, how to express that, or, I mean, I was just learning how to be a part of a group. When I was drinking, I was, you know, the boss. Well, at least in my own world. And I did not know how to be a part of anything. And I didn't know how to come to, like, kind of like a group conscience, how to be able to listen to opposing opinions or ones that differ from what I think, and to be able to continue to listen instead of just shutting that off and just like, you know what, they are so stupid and so wrong, I am not even listening to this. So, you know, I mean, you can hopefully, you know, start to learn how to do some of that stuff, and it takes a little bit of time and recovery. At least it did for me. So, are there any other questions? Yeah.
John is the GFR. Is that good? Am I right on that?
John? Yep.
For Thursday night. Okay. How big an area is he? I mean, is he a GSR for always group down Prescott or?
Nope. Each group has their own GSR.
Okay. Each group has their own GSR.
Mm-hmm. And it is suggested that you do, you know, that you don't represent more than one group because you have a vote. You have one vote. And as you move through kind of the service structure at district and at area, you only have one vote. So so you don't want to be representing two groups because then one group doesn't have a voice. Okay. Yes.
So I'm in River Falls, and there seem to be quite a few groups that don't have GSRs. How, you know, do you have any suggestions on the best method to stimulate some interest in this? You know, how do you say we're going to have a group conscious meeting and come 15 minutes early? So you say half hour early, so then you got your 15 minutes. What do you do? How do you get people to want to be enthused about doing it?
Yes. That can be, you know, that can be a challenge. I guess for myself, how I got involved in service was through my sponsor. My sponsor took me to my first district meeting, and my sponsor was active in service at that level. And so she was somebody who I traveled with, someone who I could talk about that stuff with, because a lot of that was kind of confusing. So I think that it's good if you can kind of help somebody. Now, you don't necessarily need to maybe be their AA sponsor. Maybe there are people that are active in the fellowship that would be a service sponsor who would be willing to take somebody around and teach them the ropes and, you know, share their experience. So that's that one thing. You know, and to encourage people, a lot of times, you know, they hear that word GSR and they don't want anything to do with it because they will say, well, that's politics and I don't want to get involved in politics. But, let's see, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but because one of the things that I have learned in recovery is that I am responsible. I don't get to be a victim anymore. You know, my life is a sum total of my actions and my attitudes and my thoughts. And before I got into sobriety, that was everybody else's fault and everybody else's business. You know, I mean, it was like I just didn't have any responsibility. And so when I come to sobriety, you know, first I have to get sober and learn, you know, I have to clean up the past and take the actions of the steps of recovery. But once I've had that, then you know what? I am responsible. This is my fellowship. This is a place that keeps me alive. Because if I don't have this, I'm going to drink again. And I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. So, you know, to have that attitude of, I'll just let somebody else do it. For me, that's old thinking and old behavior. And, you know, it doesn't challenge me to grow in any other areas of my life. I mean, you can be very stagnant in Alcoholics Anonymous and never pick up a drink, you know. But I heard it. Someone talk about this at a roundup I was at this summer, and she talked about how AA can be as big or as small as I want it. I mean, AA is international. We have an international conference coming up next year in Texas, and there will probably be 50, 60, 70,000 people from all over the world. The service structure can provide an avenue to be more than just an onlooker. It can provide an avenue to be a part of. You know, I have traveled all over for service. When I got sober, I never went outside. I mean, going to Chippewa Falls was like, I had to think about that for days, you know. That was a long drive. You know, now I can go, I mean, you know, I go all over the place. And it has given me a confidence that I did not have when I was drunk. It has given me the ability to talk to people and to share with people. I mean, it has really, I think, it has made me more of the person that God created me to be. That I don't think I would have experienced if I would have just stayed in my home group without that experience. I think a home group is extremely important, and you can learn a lot of lessons in your home group. I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, it can be as large as you want it. And there are members of Alcoholics Anonymous who started out just like me, a drunk, you know, trying to stay sober one day at a time, to, you know, East Central Regional Trustee, to a trustee at large. Our trustee at large, who just rotated out, Dorothy W., she traveled all over the world carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, helping other countries start general service offices, get meetings started, talking to them about, you know, the steps. And, I mean, she was just a drunk, just like us. Just like every single person in this room could be a trustee at large just because you're alcoholic. You don't need anything special except, you know, be an alcoholic and a willingness to say yes, and to just kind of stretch yourself out there. So now I have no idea what the question was. I remember the question. So I think that one of the things is that how we talk about it and how we present service is really important. You know, if people just look at it going, well, you know, I don't want to drive to Menominee once a month. Great, that's like an hour away and, you know, and then an hour back, and that's 2 hours, and then I got to be there for three, you know, I don't have time. Well, you know, if that's how you think about it, who's going to want to do that? But, you know, if you can maybe encourage them at a different level, or how do you present it, I think is important. And I think also going with people. You can't expect people to go out there and do that on their own. We're too scared. The book talks about it. The fabric of our existence is shot through with it. That doesn't mean like a little bit. That means fear encompasses every area of our life. And so if you expect a drunk to go out and do something on their own, probably not going to happen. But you know what? If I say, you know what, I'll come with you. Let's do this together. You know, it makes it, I think, more palatable. And as far as group conscience, it's like, well, so if someone brings up that idea, are you supporting them? Or do you get caught up in that, well, you know what, 10 people don't want to do this, and here's one person who does. Where am I going to stand on that issue? Do I believe that's for the betterment of our group? Do I think that's going to, you know? Sometimes standing up for what we believe is right and good goes against, you know, the group sometimes. Sometimes, you're putting your head up above the crowd. You're going to take pot shots, and people are going to call you a fanatic, you know, a Nazi. That's Gary's favorite word. Does that answer your question? Okay. Are there, Cheryl?
Hi, I'm Cheryl. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Cheryl.
I'm trying to steer you away from GSR since I do the presentation. All right, one more on the same. What about the general service?
Yep. Let me just quickly talk a little bit about the district. We have, of the group of GSRs, they will elect somebody that's called a DCM, district committee member. That person will sit on what's called the area committee, and he also or she will facilitate our district meetings. Is kind of a go to a person for, oh, maybe bringing some information back to the GSRs for the district meetings and that kind of stuff. So there's that. Then we have this area. And here you can see, this is our area. We're Area 74. We're Northern Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And within our area, we have several districts. We are District 05. So you can feel free to come up if you have any questions. Then, here's our region. Our region is made up of Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. And that's our region. And we are called the East Central Region. So that's a little bit about that. So then we have, twice a year we have what's called an assembly. We have one in the spring and one in the fall. And that is where all the GSRs, all the DCMs, committee chairs, we'll all kind of come together for a day, and we will discuss and kind of business, I guess, or service opportunities. We'll talk about what's going on and how we want the flow of our district or area to go. What do we want happening in our area? So we have that. That is a place where voting takes place. Level, we will elect a person who is called a delegate. And the delegate I don't want to say they represent the area, although they are representative of our area. Although when they get to New York for the annual conference, their real job is to represent Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. Based on the information and the conscience of their area. So the conference, Cheryl will kind of talk about that, is an annual event. It happens in late April. It is a place where it is kind of a closed meeting. It is not open to the full membership. Unlike our area assemblies and conferences and district meetings, those are open to our entire fellowship, our entire membership. If you're an alcoholic and you want to come and see what's going on, you're welcome to any of those events. You might not have a vote there, but you certainly can come and listen and have a better idea of what's going on. The General Service Conference, and I want to make sure that I say this right, it's this annual event, and it is made up of our 93 delegates, and our delegates cover the United States and Canada. We have trustees. We have 21 trustees in our service structure. 7 of them are non-alcoholic, and 14 of them are alcoholic. We have 2 subsidiaries, is that the right word, Dodie?
Affiliates.
AA World Services and the Grapevine. So the directors of those two organizations, well, I guess, I don't know if I want to call them organizations, but they are there. And then there are 16 staff members from the General Service Office. So that annual conference is made up of 134 people, and they are the voting. They vote. They do the business. It's a week-long conference that happens in New York, and they cover a variety of topics that go all the way from our service-approved literature. It covers things that are happening in committees like corrections, public information, cooperation with professional community. I mean, our literature, all the normal things that we're familiar with, and then some additional ones, like forums and conventions. I don't even know what all. And there's a boatload of them. And I think over here. It shows the breakdown of the service structure. So these are all the different committees. And all these committees are made up of delegates and trustees.
And so these people are the ones who are kind of all involved in that conference. These are the people who sit on some of the staff people, and here are the directors of our behavioral services and great ones. And, you know, when you start getting into this level, there's a lot. It can be kind of confusing. So the service manual is a really good place to reference on that because it can explain what people are doing, where they should be. I have one up here. Okay, so, and Cheryl, what else do you want me to talk about?
That's it.
Okay. Okay. The way that we prepare for that conference, and I say we because even though we only send our delegate there, you know, we are responsible. I mean, you know, what do we want to provide? What services do we want to provide? So the way that we prepare for that in this particular area is our delegate has formed what's called a delegates workshop. And that is a day when we all get together and we have all the agenda items that are going to be happening at the conference. They're going to be addressed there. And in our district and in our area, we also have committees that are, you know, that mimic what is at the general service office level. So we have public information, we have corrections, we have literature, we have CPC, what else? Finance, Grapevine, and I know there's probably some that I'm missing. But so we get together and we break up into little groups and we talk. We talk about those items and what do we think about them? What are our concerns about them? Do we think they're a good idea? Do we think it needs some more work? You know, do we think that it's totally off the wall? You know, we get together and caucus in that group, and then at the end of the day, we will go through item by item and share our conscience that we came up with our delegate. And so that when our delegate goes to New York, our delegate has a really solid idea of how this membership, you know, in this area, and our area is 600 or 700 groups make up our area. So, I mean, it's a lot of people, a lot of people. And we would really have a lot, I mean, we could do things if we had 600 GSRs show up at our area assembly. We would have a voice. We'd have a strong voice. You know, we could take over Alcoholics Anonymous. As a So, little information. Pass it on. Ready to take over Alcoholics Anonymous. Anyway. Yeah. That's kind of that. I don't know. Oh, one of the things I did, I brought some pamphlets that are available from our literature that are really some good tools to use within your groups or, you know, even with the people that you sponsor if you want to start to become familiar with how things work and how it can make sense. One, the very, you know, the first thing, and I've referred to it, is our service manual. I mean, I don't like to think that I'm weird, but I really enjoy this book.
Oh, you're weird.
And actually, I there's a group of women that we get together via a conference call once a week, and we are studying this book. So there you go. That's just how sick you can get. And we love it because it's just fun. And once a year, a few years ago, we started having a concepts retreat weekend where we get together and we study three concepts on a weekend. And, just a little bit more to understand. But there's a lot of pamphlets that are published. You know, AA group, the group treasurer. So there's some information on, you know, how do you answer some of those questions about where should our money go? How do we split that up? What, you know, what does that have to do with recovery? And then inside AA, understanding the fellowship and its services, circle of love, support, where money and spirituality mix. And then the AA group pamphlet, AA traditions, how it developed. And then there's like a 12 concepts illustrated. So, you know, so there is some unified material here that, you know, comes out of New York and can help us when we're working with people or trying to encourage people to be active in service and to answer any questions. So are there any other questions? Mike.
Rachel, in the beginning, you talked about being grateful for being allowed to participate in your own recovery and how service was vital to you in that effort. Can you tell us about how you benefited from being of service and being involved in service?
Sure, I can do that. You know, I spoke a little bit about that, you know, that I have kind of gained a confidence that I didn't have prior to that. And I think that it is, for me personally, it has helped me to grow up. You know, it's helped me to learn how to be a part of a group, how to not have to either be on the top or on the bottom. I mean, I can just be right in the middle. And how that kind of works its way on the outside of the world is that I couldn't do anything sober. I mean, I wouldn't even come to something like this because I hardly know anyone here. You wouldn't catch me any place where I didn't know someone unless I was half in the bag. Then it's okay. But, you know, so I could not live my life sober because of my immaturity and I never developed in some of those areas. I didn't know how to shake your hand and say, hello, I'm Mary Jo. Because I was too worried that I was nothing, I was nobody, you weren't going to remember who I was, why am I here anyway? So I defeated myself before I ever even did anything. So services taught me how to be a part of community, and to be comfortable and to be able to do that sober. I've held a variety of positions. So I've done some, I was GSR. I have been treasurer for our district, and I was literature chair. And the thing I liked about that is we have a ton of literature, and I'd never really even looked at it much. I mean, the big book and the 12 and 12, and maybe, you know, I have a copy of Language of the Heart and some of that stuff, but there's a lot of really cool pamphlets and stuff, and so that gave me opportunity to become familiar with what we have available. Treasure, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of stuff financially when I got here in sobriety, but, you know, just to be able to be of service in that way. And I have been chair for some of committees, so I've learned how to facilitate meetings. And I think currently I'm serving the area as treasurer. And one of the things that I'm really touched by being able to be of service of that is I'm exposed to so many groups. I mean, not personally, not on a personal level, but I get to see the love and support that people in Alcoholics Anonymous have for this program. Because there are little groups that will send $5. There are people who will just come up and give me a handful of money. There are bigger groups that send more money. But, you know, they have this love and this commitment, and I get to be a part of that in the sense that I'm aware of it. And so, you know, that has done that. I have met people that I would not have normally met. I've gone places I would never have gone. And most importantly, is I am still sober. You know, I get to be a sober woman in Alcoholics Anonymous today. And so for that, I'm very grateful for that. So are there any other questions? No? Okay. I'll turn this back over to Gary then.